flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys, working from home today, back in the studio tomorrow. Appreciate Mike Conti letting us not have to deal with the ice, and as Carl is also known, the black ice. And again, tonight, hopefully, it'll be a safer ride and a more convenient ride for you guys. And by the way, Oren, you guys sacking out at the hotel?
Another night, yes, sir.
All right, man, living on that company dime. Join us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Guy, a perfect time to talk about because we just got the TV ratings, Carl. They just came out about an hour ago about the college football championship, and they were down. Down in a big way. It was about 25 million and change to watch Michigan and Washington, and just over 22.1 for Notre Dame and Ohio State. And maybe Bill Burton wants to talk about, is it a byproduct perhaps of being too late in the game and it got lost with everything else going on, Bill, between the inauguration and the fact the NFL playoffs seem to gobble up everything as far as momentum?
You know, that's an interesting point, and one of my concerns was where it fell on the calendar a little bit, and where, you know, when you had 10 NFL games between Ohio State, Texas, and Ohio State, Notre Dame, 10 NFL playoff games, and of course, here was my concern, is like, Buffalo and Baltimore was a great game, right? So, what are they talking about all Monday morning? They were talking about all those things you just mentioned, the inauguration, Mark Andrews, the end of the Buffalo game, who's in the NFC AFC championship game. Oh, by the way, Notre Dame and Ohio State are playing Monday night in Atlanta. So,
right.
Long list to get there. And I just think that shows if I had one issue with the playoff, and I don't have a lot, I'd push it up. Get that game played earlier.
Right.
Did this work? I mean, what's your analysis of the 12 teams and the teams that got in? Mike and I talked about this. You know, you're Notre Dame, no conference affiliation, no conference championship game. Ohio State didn't play in their conference championship game. People feel some kind of way, especially in SEC country, like, hey, our conference championship's a big deal. And when you lose it, you normally don't get a chance to play for a national title. Did this 12-team playoff work? You said you don't have a lot of beef. What are your beefs with it?
Seed it properly.
Right.
You know, Georgia, for example, has not lost, what is it, 31 straight home games? You win the SEC, you probably should play at least one on campus in this format. I mean, that's one. The length of time, a playoff that takes 7 weeks is entirely too long, in my opinion, but I get the logistical hurdles. You know what, though? I can say that. I don't know that the coaches were saying that. I think they liked that players could actually heal between games and things like that, and they were on winter break so they could spend more time playing football. So I don't know if that one's going to land, but thought I'd throw it out there. But those are the little ones, you know. Give the second round home games maybe. But still keep them at the bowl games. I'm one of those guys, I do enjoy the bowl games, the traditions. You know, we had a horrible thing happen at the Sugar Bowl, but I was glad they were able to play it there. And the Peach Bowl, what a game that was between Arizona State and Texas. And I'm glad we got to tell stories like Arizona State and Boise State and some others.
That's a good point. As Bill Bender joins us, guys, from a Sporting News senior writer here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. I agree with you. I would just dive right into this right after the conference championships because you do lose some momentum. They're not going back. Seven, if you're going to emulate the NFL, seven teams seems like a great way to go. I don't think we needed Boise State. I don't think we needed Clemson in there. But, hey, what about now because those other bowl games have been so marginalized? Nobody shows up for, you know, that Miami bowl game against Iowa State. Are we going to see this thing expand to 16 teams?
I think so. I think that's coming, whether it's 14 or 16. And maybe that eliminates one of the problems I'm talking about, where we can play the first couple on campus and maybe Georgia gets one home game. Maybe they get two. Who knows? And I think that would add to the flavor of it. I don't know about you guys. I did like the games on campus a lot. I was at Ohio State, Tennessee. The environment was sweet. Really kick-started their playoff run, if we're honest about it. And, you know, we can go from there. So, but in order to do that, we've got to talk about the conference championship game. I think depending on who you ask, the value of those has changed. I know how big it's down there where you guys are in SEC country. I know how important the conference championship game is and steeped in that conference's identity. I'm going to be honest with you, Big Ten country, I grew up without it. I mean, I could do without it, honestly, and that's one of the things we're going to have to talk about as we move forward.
Yeah, it is a great point, Bill, and that's part of – and listen, I think it was – speaking of Big Ten, I think it was James Franklin, right, when they were playing and he was like, either everybody plays in one or nobody plays. Like, coaches are trying to make a stance on this, but we also know that there's just so much money involved, right, Bill? I mean, that's the other reason why they're not going to do away with these games.
Right. And money. I had, you know, you hear that all the time. I've heard it a couple times over the weekend. You know, whatever the question is, the answer is money. And that's a big deal in college football, the revenue of those games. If they're going to get rid of them, you've got to find a way to replace them.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to replace that money with? How are you going to get that money back? And yeah, they're going to want that. So I do. The other side of that is like, I watched the SEC and Big Ten championship games with probably a little less interest because I knew they were both in. Like, well, both of these teams are in, so what's the big deal? Whereas the ACC and Big 12, at least for a half, probably paid more attention to, particularly, or even the Mountain West, because you were like, Boise and UNLV, the winner of this game's in. So I don't know. It's not a perfect answer, and I get that. I'm not giving you a solution for the money, and that's why I'm going to lose that argument. But, I guess I have to surrender at that point.
Yeah. It's a Bill Bender, guys. He's a senior writer for Sporting News covering college football with us here on Dukes and Bell. The other thing is, it felt weird, Bill. I mean, we talked about all the other things that were going on and the NFL playoffs. The NFL consumes everything like Pac-Man. But it just felt like Ohio State losing to Michigan – and winning a national championship just doesn't jive, you know? And look, they played the system. They brought in the money. They got their upperclassmen to stick around for another run. Ryan Day finally gets that vindication. But it was a weirdness about it. Notre Dame, too. Look, they beat Georgia's butt. They won the line of scrimmage. They deserve to be there. But they lose to NIU. It's like you've devalued the regular season, I guess, is the point I'm making.
Yeah, it's a tough one for me to figure out. Like, I grew up around that game and with the or else and the all or nothing stakes to it, to say out loud that Ohio State won a national championship and lost the Michigan game, it's weird. And just like it's weird that weird when Alabama did it in Auburn, then when they lost to Auburn and then beat Georgia for the national championship. But like Nick Saban said, you're not going to remember that part. I still think we're going to remember the Michigan part because it launched – the way they lost. And then it launched this playoff run where they went on a rampage, guys. It was four games. Unbelievable. And I think they played amazing football, and it was cool to see. And, For Ryan Day, it was the ultimate redemption. He had the right to kind of fire away at his critics. I thought he handled it with a ton of class on Monday evening.
Yeah, I agree. Let's look ahead, because Mike and I were talking about this, Bill. It's Bill Bender, guy, Sporting News senior writer, talking some college football. You know, I think Georgia's going to be very good next year. And we've been saying, is this reputation, or are they truly going to, you know, get back into the hunt of being in the national title game next year? And I think they are, but they are going to be one of the top teams along with Texas. Where is Ohio State? Where is Notre Dame as we turn the page on this season and say, all right, what team should we truly be paying attention to as we get early into next year? I know there's still a lot to be determined. We, you know, portal and some other things, but what are you thinking there?
Well, I think Georgia's going to be very good. We got our way too early up like everybody else. I was impressed with Gunnar Stockton.
Yeah.
A couple good ads. Nate Frazier could emerge next year. I always use that Empire Strikes Back analogy, but they're going to be right back in the mix. And the schedule isn't quite as difficult as it was. Although, sort out SEC teams for next year, and I'm guilty of this, it was really difficult, is after Georgia and Texas, what's the difference between an LSU, a Florida, a Tennessee, an Alabama, South Carolina, Ole Miss, all the way down to like Missouri? They're tough to sort out, because I think LSU is going to be high on those lists because of Garrett Nussmeier. I think Florida created a lot of momentum when we thought Billy Napier was going to be fired, and now they got a decent setup with Billy Napier. And when I have some time and I need to do this, you really got to break down those schedules. And you know, when you have a team that's got a lot of really good teams against them, it's going to be a little bit tougher. And I think that happened this year. You know, Florida weathered that strong schedule. Oklahoma, not so much. But then again, the Sooners ended up picking up Alabama and keeping them out of the playoff. There's a lot of teams in the SEC that got to go through a gauntlet. Every one of them has a tough schedule.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey Bill, what about Oregon? You know, they win. They are the Big Ten conference champions for 2024, and Ohio State went through them like poop through a duck, I've been saying. But I mean, can Dan Lanning, you know, get them back where they're supposed to? I mean, we thought they were gonna make a run, and all the teams that had the bye, like Georgia, just seemed to really fizzle.
Well, that's why I said home game. You know, Georgia winning 31 straight home games. Dan Lanning and Oregon, they've lost one home game in the last 3 years. So probably would have helped the play. Not only, I think the break is something we've got to address too. Could you imagine if the Chiefs had to wait another week to play? When you had to wait from December 7th, I think it was, till January 1st or January 2nd, in the Bulldogs' case, to play your next football game. That's a long layoff. And I know they've dealt with that in the past with the other format, and a lot of it's the rest versus rust argument, but it was very clear that Oregon was rusty. And I thought it was pretty clear that Georgia was a little bit rusty with a backup quarterback. I'm not making excuses because you got to go out and play the game. I understand all that. But I would do it that way. Let's start this playoff sooner so these guys don't have that huge break. Maybe you got to get through the final. That's, the, I guess, the other difference with school calendars. You got to do finals and those things. But I don't know, man. We can figure out a way to do that.
We should figure out a way. Bill, appreciate you stopping by, man. There's a lot going on. Do you suspect any big changes? I know you're following all these different stories as to how business is done moving forward with college football and NIL, because we keep waiting on more guardrails. Do you think this is just going to be another year where, hey, do whatever the hell you want, spend as much as you want?
Well, I mean, yeah, until we get those, yes. And, you know, the playoff will make some changes in the coming years, but it worked for Ohio State. I don't begrudge them. You know, they spent a lot of money and they got a nice return. They got a national title. They spent money on the right guys like Quinshon Judkins and Will Howard and Caleb Downs. It wasn't like 30 players they brought in. They just brought in a couple real good ones like any good baseball team would do. So we'll see. You know, we'll fix. I still think that, I don't know about you guys, I've been thinking about it a little more each day. The sport's fine. The sport's fine, and we'll fix some of these things, but can't tell me you didn't enjoy it. I am a little concerned about those TV ratings, but
right,
we'll see. You know, some of that was we had two teams from the same part of the country.
Right. I agree. Bill, thanks so much, man. We got to run. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, sounds good. Thank you.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.